Hi, Daniel. Nice to talk to you. I love your hat.
It's a Stetson. It's a 3.5 beaver Stetson, made right here in America.
Where are you located again?
Indian no place, or Indianapolis.
Okay, can you see me? Am I okay? Is the
Yeah,
lighting good?
perfect.
Should I
No,
turn this
the
light
lighting
on
is good.
too?
No, you're good. You're good right there. That's
Which
boom.
one's better?
That's fine. I think so. This gives you a warm glow. Go back to
Oh,
the
this
warm
other
glow.
one?
There you go.
Okay.
Try that. Okay. Well, Marianne, welcome to the Ed Show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I was thinking about who could I have for an upcoming guest, and then I heard her voice. It was like almost like an intuition, and I said, I need to talk about this voice that I'm hearing to tell me to get a guest, and then your name came up.
Well, I think that voice has been with you throughout your whole life. And being that you're doing this amazing show, you've probably been tapped into it for a long time, correct?
Well, I would say you have to be. There have to be some kind of voices, but as long as the voices doesn't tell me to do something that's illegal, immoral, then I guess we're okay. But I gotta say, it's not always that clean. I mean, occasionally there's a voice there, and I gotta smack it down like all people do.
You know what the thing is, if people call it a voice, and I have heard messages that came almost in the sound of a voice, but typically these messages we get, they're in the form of thoughts. You know, and you kind of develop a muscle to know which distinguish which thoughts are just coming from your brain versus which are inspirations coming from them. So it's not a scary thing. You're not hearing spooky voices or seeing spooky visions necessarily. It's just stuff coming into your brain on an everyday basis.
And that is in my brain. There's a lot of stuff coming in there. So, and really, I'm just saying there. Of course, my own personal thoughts, maybe intuitions, like we're going to be discussing, and hunches, and just then there's the noise that's all around, constantly coming in. The information, the news reports, the radio, the television. Internet, it's all coming in, and so this is a big, it's a big mess up there. That's all I can say. It's a big mess.
Yeah, I think this coronavirus has kind of forced us all to kind of turn inward and calm down and maybe listen a little bit more, you know, go back to some of the old ways. So maybe that's a good thing.
Well, we're going to be talking about your book, and I have it right here, The Gift. Now, when somebody, The Gift Within Us, intuition, spirituality, and the power of your own inner voice. To me, that says if it's a gift, that means somebody gave it to me, or you, or anyone. So, where's the source of the gift? Who's the giver?
Well, I think that every last one of us on the planet has the ability to get this amazing divine wisdom, divine guidance through inspiration by listening to our inner voice. The problem is that for many of us, there's a hurdle to overcome, which is ego. So in order to really kind of access it, you have to take your ego down a couple of pegs, be humble, and listen. And for many of us in today's society, that's like an impossible feat. But it's kind of necessary to hear these inspirations.
When you say sort of have some humility about it, what are you saying there? What
Well, you know, we're all
ego?
pretty brilliant. We all come up with some really great, amazing thoughts. But there are some other things that come to us that maybe we're getting a little help with. And for example, as you held up the book, I'll do the same. The idea of this gold bow on a simple white background, that was coming from what I call the powers that be. It's super simple. It's not new agey. Everyone loves a gift. And that's what I got. And also the title of the book, The Gift Within Us. I had so many working titles, Daniel, as I'm sure you're aware, when you're writing a book, it's real important to have a good title. But finally, I got this inspiration that this book should be called this. I'm very happy with it. So I was smart enough to be humble enough to listen because although we're all brilliant, we have brilliant thoughts, not every single one of them is coming from just our own brain. Sometimes we're inspired and we should kind of give credit where credit is due, I think.
Well, what's the difference now? Inspire, being inspired. How do I know that's not just a confluence of a lot of experiences and put together, and all of a sudden I want to build something? Like I built this over here and I built that over there, and then if I build two things together, I have almost like an inspiration to build two things together. Is that is that my own experience doing that, or does that go into the realm of sort of a gift?
You know, as you mentioned earlier, we all have these hunches, these gut feelings, and what distinguishes them from regular thoughts is sometimes they kind of just go against what your rational mind is thinking anyway. Like if I'm driving my daughter to school and suddenly I kind of get this inspiration or idea that maybe I should take a different route today. And if I listen to it and I do it, maybe later I find out there was an accident on that route, whatever. I think a good measure of it is if it sometimes goes against what you're thinking in your rational mind, but you get the strong sensation, oh my gosh, I just shouldn't do it that way. I should do it this way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do have plenty of regular everyday thoughts. Some of them are wonderful, brilliant ideas we come up with alone. But there are a number of thoughts, and I don't even use the word idea much anymore. I use the word inspiration because many times I realize that some of the brilliant ideas that are coming to me are really kind of coming from, you know, we have colleagues on this plane, I believe, but also colleagues on the other plane. And I think sometimes I'm getting some of that information from them, and I try to listen and pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Question from our moderator says, how do you know those messages are not coming from God or, say, his messengers?
Well, what I call the powers that be is a combination, a collaboration of many different energies. I guess I would say including God, angels, guides, maybe deceased loved ones, a kind of whole collection of beings and energies that are wanting to help us that are not on this plane. So it kind of encompasses all of that stuff, the greater good, our higher self, you know, whatever you choose to call it.
Well, I appreciate you said, you just mentioned a minute ago, you said that you don't believe this is New Agey. And if you say, if we had Christians in the audience here, they would say New Agey is of the devil. I'm not convinced that all of it is, but you suggest that it's not even a New Age topic. But then what would you call it?
Well, you know, I'm a communicator. I'm a public relations person by trade. Obviously, you're a communicator. You're doing this show. I think that basically intuition is just a really great form of communication that's been misunderstood or overlooked by many people because there was this stereotype that people with intuition or gifted psychics or mediums were, you know, weird or woo-woo or something strange. So we would call it woman's intuition, or we'd put it down, and we didn't really utilize this form of communication that is so valuable to us because of the negative stereotype. And when you think about it, Daniel, like 20 years ago, we had phones with cords. You know, we didn't have even cell phones. Mm-hmm. Now we have these iPhones. Our level of communication has just increased immensely. And I think the next form of communication that we're going to embrace a little more, or should, is intuition. I mean, you don't even have to carry it around. It's right there, mm-hmm. right, coming to you. So it's really a matter of respecting and understanding and blasting that old stereotype of coming from the devil or blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I mean, it's not.
There is now in the country, there is a lot of changes going on in, say, the church scene with the lockdown. Now, I know the Supreme Court just ruled against, I think maybe in California, about the gatherings of churches. They wanted to use the freedom of religion clause of the United States Constitution, that the government should make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prevent that free exercise thereof. But they have an exception now for... That's not in the Constitution. Their exception is for public safety. That's not in the Constitution. Be it as it may, the Supreme Court said, sorry. A lot of churches have already went to live streaming. Mm-hmm. Biblically, there's scriptures that say, forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So that definitely delineates a physical appearance, presence with others. But I note that particular scripture is, because of the mandate, is kind of being moved aside as maybe God really didn't know that, because we have Zoom now, we have Skype now. God didn't know that, so we can go ahead and move on over. But it's almost a justification, because the other would mean that they would have to violate a law, and they're not ready to go against the state and suffer the consequences of coming against the jack-heeled boot of the state and the power that it represents. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way that I see what you're saying about whether or not it's New Age, there's some movement there of what is the description of New Age, as even the church is now making a movement of what is the definition of gathering together, because by rights they have to do it the other way. All of a sudden it's not that important. But so I said, wait a minute, what's your tenet here? But what I'm saying is that the description and understanding of things are changing rapidly right now in all strata. I'm not making a case for New Agey or the church going against the church, hitting them like this, but I am saying there's movement. And so who knows how that's going to pan out. All right, let's get to another question here. And by the way, women have intuition, right? They always have woman's intuition. Isn't that sexist? How come I can't have intuition? What do I got? I got to have a hunch. So, you know, I realize I'm a cowboy, so, you know, hunch. That sounds about right. But maybe I want some intuition too. But no, it's woman's intuition. How do you explain that?
I say that's an old hackneyed stereotype. Typic term. Listen, some of our champions of industry, some of the people that started the internet and Google and what have you, Amazon, are business people and oftentimes men who went with their intuition. It's just a smart business move because the wisdom that's coming to us is from beings that have just so much more smarts than we do, and we would be wise to listen to them. So no, it is not just, I mean, they were demeaning intuition by calling it woman's intuition or that it was silly. No, some of the most successful people in the world have used their intuition, men and women, to get to where they've gotten.
I noticed that it's kind of an aside here. We're talking about women. Why can't a man have women's intuition? I was thinking that there's this story, a Louis Vuitton store, which just looted the other day, but the looters were mostly men grabbing those purses. I'm thinking, wow, I think you look good with that. Okay, let's get to something else. That's a hot button topic right there. Australian Ben says, Marianne, is intuition a feeling or a knowing?
It's a knowing. I think you kind of feel it in your gut, which is why we call it a gut feeling. But there's just this intrinsic welcoming of a thought that maybe you didn't kind of conjure up, but there it is. And so I think it's suddenly you have a knowing, like when you meet somebody, you kind of feel like they rub you the wrong way. Maybe it's not right. Or on the reverse, you fall in love with somebody or you feel really connected to somebody. That's all that intuition, that gut feeling working together. So you know, you're smart enough to know what's going on and just trust that.
So we can trust that. And I think, I remember talking to you before the show a week or so back, and I gave you an example of something that just recently happened to me about listening to a voice. But does, if we hear this voice, this intuition, and we act on it, are we pretty sure that it's going to be all right?
I can honestly say that in all of my years, I have never acted on an intuitive piece of guidance that turned wrong. Quite frankly, it happens the other way, where you'll just go down this other path just stubbornly, like, I'm not going to listen to that. My rational mind's telling me I need to go there. And then boom, right? It's not working out. You're just kind of like fighting to get up the stream, right? Why do that? When the stream is flowing, go with it.
Marianne, I heard somebody once say, why does it, people call it psychotic if we pray to God and then we say we heard God? They say psychotic if you hear, but it's not psychotic if you pray. In other words, if you get an answer after you pray, you know, then I heard God say, then they say, oh, something wrong with you. Well, now, why is that?
I think that's kind of not, the people who are saying that are not very informed. I don't know a lot of people that are saying what you're saying right there. I think people that are smart enough to pray or to, and I have great respect for people of various religion, all religious faiths. I mean, I was raised Catholic. It was the first Easter I couldn't go to church this year, and it kind of broke my heart. But, you know, I want to tell you something, Daniel. Pew Research, P-E-W Research, is a big group. They study people, and they found that the fastest growing group of people are the people that identify as spiritual but not religious. They have turned away from traditional religion, whatever it is for them, but they still yearn for that spiritual connection. I mean, a lot of the sex scandals in the Catholic Church led to this and other reasons. But and now with the pandemic, we can't go physically into these churches. People have to understand that we are right there. We are connected anyway. And we don't have to necessarily set foot in a place of worship to benefit from that divine guidance, that divine wisdom. And frankly, I don't care if you're religious at all, what religion you are. This whole topic transcends religion. It really comes out of love, which is the basis of all many religions, I think, right? So it's just about, you don't have to sweat it, the small details. Even if you're a sinner, as we define it, you are loved. And that guidance is there for you. It's just a matter of knowing that it's there and feeling worthy of receiving it, period.
All right. A lot of times we have people watching the show. They're in a chat. They're watching the show, listening to it, and they're talking to each other. That's where we're getting some of our questions here. We have Jade, our moderators, in there. So, but a lot of times I throw out a question. Now, I'm going to throw out a question to the people in the chat. And the question is this. We're talking about distance churching, I guess you could call it. The new paradigm, Zoom. By the way, there's a Saturday night parody of that that is ridiculously funny. Have you seen that? The pastor, they're Zooming, and he got all these people, and they're talking, and he says, I can hear y'all. Yeah, shut up. Did you see that?
I didn't. I think I heard about it, though.
Oh, it's ridiculously funny. And but anyway, so they're Zooming. But my question to the people in the chat, I'm going to out myself right here on the show. Never done this before. Well, yeah. But not this topic here, Marianne. You don't know what's coming. It's not bad. How many have ever been in church and closed your eyes and act like you're praying or something, but you're really sleeping? Because I was thinking that if I could, in Zoom church, I just kick back and you know, in my pajamas, and I won't have to worry about anybody seeing me kind of like dozing off there. Has anybody ever done that in church, kind of like dozed off a little bit? And if you're doing any church streaming, have you done that now? I'm just, as people in the live chat, that's for you guys there. And while they're answering that question, have they ever fell asleep in church or kind of close their eyes and hope that it was over soon? Australian Ben back again says, is deja vu confirmation of intuition, and is it separate zone between sleep and awake?
That's a pretty complex question. I would say that it's a little bit of an off topic of this. I think deja vu, it's a question I don't really know how to answer. I think that you are remembering something that maybe you experienced before, but to be quite honest, I don't really know that I have the answer to that particular question, Australian Ben. And are you in Australia? That's my question.
Australian
Are people
Ben.
Listening to us in Australia? Because one of the people in my book is an Australian guy named Paul Asdick, a fantastically gifted intuitive.
Okay, we actually have some people who are brave enough to answer my question. Meow says, no, never close out. Now, what I do is, like, I'd be like, a... you know, okay. Somebody said, I'm just waiting for the announcement for the bean stuff. Okay, Rose says yes. I think Jade, our moderator, says not I. Australian Ben says yes. Anybody else want to out yourself? Put Yahweh says yes. Okay, we got some very honest people in there. No, there's some people that probably would now may feel like the rain of fire may come down if they did. Susan Baldwin says, well, she says yes to somebody else, so I'm not sure. There might be a wrong conversation there. Okay, Azure out of live chat says, Marianne, are you a universal Unitarian?
No. I was raised Catholic, and now I kind of embrace, I respect all religions if people choose to go down that path. Unitarian is a very specific sect that I wouldn't say I identify with particularly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have this question here from Put Yahweh First out of the live chat again. It says, Marianne, I've had premonitions and didn't act on them, and several people have died as a result. How and why do I get them?
Well, I think I'd have to know more specifics about what these premonitions were. I mean, were you forewarned of dubious things happening to loved ones and didn't act on them? I'm not quite clear on it, but all I know is that you're not responsible for another's death, because each soul that comes into this world has its own kind of plan, And no matter what you're worried about, you did not cause that person's death. And maybe nothing you could have done might have prevented it. But I don't really know the answer to your specific question because I don't know the specific things around that.
I've told this story on here before, but I'll tell you because this goes into the dream situation, and maybe I don't think it qualifies as intuition. Maybe you can kind of break it down. But I had a dream one time of this big water tower, and the water tower had a trap door at the bottom, and it opened, and all the water came out. At that particular time, before I got kicked out of church. Before I got kicked out of this particular church, I was talking around in the foyer, and I told somebody, I said, you know, I just had a dream about this water tower. It was so vivid. And then some guy comes walking over and said, what did you say? I said, you know, I'm just talking about a dream I had last night about a water tower. Turned out this guy was a developer. He had built a water tower in my area, and the night before it opened and drained all the water out. Now, I'm not like a prophet of any kind, but does that go into intuition? Does that go into, you're talking about the inner voice. Did the inner voice see the future? How did I dream that?
Well, I think that maybe you're kind of like an open satellite dish that in your dream state, maybe you were receiving information because it was traumatic for the community, I imagine, that you somehow picked up on the fact that this event was going to happen. That just speaks to the fact that you, in addition to your hat, which kind of looks like a satellite dish, you probably have a very open consciousness, and that information came to you in the night.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, kind of generally the way I am personally is that this show just says it, really. I kind of want to have an open mind. Just because I have somebody on the show that says something, I don't soak in everything. I just look for nuggets of truth. And I think that each person on this planet has a piece of truth. And the more open we are to listening to it and sharing back and forth, the better we all are. That's what I feel about it. All right. Australian Ben says, what are some of the most profound intuition experience you've grappled with, and do identical twins lead the world in intuition? Two-part question.
Well, on the identical twins question, Australian Ben, you pose a lot of interesting questions. I don't really know about the identical twin question. So I have to say, sorry, can't answer that. I mean, I would think that in most cases, twins do have a leverage over regular siblings, but I'm not sure. As far as the most profound intuitive experiences that I've had, it's a long story I won't go into for sake of time, but I did some PR for battered women back in the 90s, free PR, while I was working at a big PR firm. I was promoting Doritos and Frito-Lay and other types of foods, and it led me to start helping raise awareness about domestic violence, which led me to the White House, which led me to get legislation passed for a federally funded toll-free domestic violence hotline. And at one point during this journey, and again, I had my day job, but I was doing this for free. I ended up getting a contract with Johnson & Johnson to do this for four times what my salary was. And I ended up getting legislation passed. At one point, I heard a voice, and it was a voice, saying, call the White House to try to get this done. And I thought, I have lost my mind. Call the White House? But I did follow through, called the White House, and I got a meeting with Mrs. Bush, the white-haired Mrs. Bush.
Okay.
And I went to D.C. on my own dime. I met with Mrs. Bush's staff and herself, Senator Biden's office, Senator Dole's office, and also Congresswoman Connie Morella's office. And I told them, we need a federally funded hotline, because at the time it was being funded by Johnson & Johnson, a corporation. And a year and a half later, I'm sitting in the ballroom at the Hilton Hotel in Manhattan at a luncheon honoring other, you know, great women. Tipper Gore stands at the podium, because the Clintons were now in charge, and said, and I'm pleased to announce today that we are the first administration to fund a federally funded toll-free domestic violence hotline. And I just sat there in the audience with goosebumps that I had made this kind of happen, but nobody there knew, and I didn't care if they knew. But so I've had some profound spiritual experiences and intuitions, and I have to say I give myself credit for listening. because I think that's kind of the point. And we all, I don't care who we are, we're all getting those inspirations. We just need to understand we're worthy of them, listen to them, and that we are loved.
Way back in 2004, I had a hunch that a local radio station at that time, who did not have a website, because that was just the beginning of the internet, and I was pretty good. I was developing websites myself. I had a hunch if I went down there and told them that I would build them a website and host it if they would give me 2 hours on Saturday night for this show, that they would, my hunch was they were going to give it to me. Now, when I showed him the show, at the end of it, I'm at this why. And this is where we come to this thing. I mean, I want to talk about that later too. That in life, we come to these whys all the time. It could go this way or it could go that way. And I think everybody has seen that. And I got so many instances of that why you come, and it's exciting. You know, it could be very depressing or it could be an elation. Well, he said, sure. I go, what? Inside, I'm going, what? But in front of him, I'm going, okay, I think we can go ahead and do that for you. Inside, I'm just going crazy. I can't. But I was surprised. So, was that a hunch, or was that just my own mind talking to me?
I think, Daniel, that you had an inspiration to come up with this idea, and you had the guts and other things that I won't say on air, that really got you there, and you had the courage to bring it up to them, knowing full well from your rational mind that you could fail. But you went ahead and did that anyway, because somewhere in you trusted that inspiration. And guess what? You're still doing this show all these time later. So you were right to take that step. And frankly, if you're getting a gut feeling, follow it. Most times you'll find yourself in a place that's way better than you might have been before.
Okay, so there's that one. We'll go with that. Years later, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had an idea for a business. Because I'm kind of a nature-inspired person. I like nature. I have plants all the time, birds. All of a sudden, I come up with an idea for an online bird thing with the bird houses and bird seed. It was in garden type of things. It just hit in the middle of the night. I just woke up and I was like, "What?" And it was called. I got the name. It was Indiana Garden and Bird Supply. And it's like, what? You know? But it was so real. I was so excited that I thought, wow, I'm going to follow through with this. And so I'm going down this road and say, well, this is an inspiration beyond belief because it was so real. It was like somebody had just put that in my head. And so I went to the National Audubon Society. I went to printers. I bought a list a mailing list for the Audubon Society, and I bought it. And then I paid thousands for a four-color brochure, mailed them out. Man, I got started getting orders for a week. Second week, got orders. Boom, boom, boom. Then nothing. And then it was a complete failure. I'm thinking, okay, what was that all about? So I mean, to me, that was the most dramatic thing to follow through, but it was a failure. So what happened there?
I have to tell you that life is school. It coming here is not easy. We are meant to go through good things, and we're meant to go through bad things. I myself have had one or two things that I took a leap, flying leap, to achieve, and it kind of just petered out. Okay, that doesn't mean that all the other things that I've done that did succeed are worthless. They're worth it. But that doesn't mean every single thing you set out to do is going to work. You know why? Because we are just like our kids. We're going to fall down. We're going to have a bump. We're going to have a scrape. That's when we come here, it's meant for a school so our souls can grow. And our souls grow very much through good things, but also through tough things. So you did the right thing, I think, in going that route. By the way, I personally love birds. My husband teases me because even though it's spring, I put out the bird feeders and things. So I love to see the woodpeckers and the other birds come. So I'm a woman after your own heart on that level. But I don't know that it was a failure because you must, I mean, thousands of dollars sounds pretty bad that you put all that into that. You learned some kind of lesson there along the way. Maybe there's a way you could have done it that was less costly, but I wouldn't call it a failure. I think it was an experience that you were meant to experience for whatever reason so your soul could grow. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't beat yourself up about that one.
And I'm sharing these stories because I know people, I'm hoping I'm triggering memories and things in the audience here, because I'm not exclusive. You're not exclusive. They have their dreams and thoughts, mm-hmm. and their intuitions and things that they move on. We got a guy named Robert Biddle in here who started a business. I mean, I don't know where his inspiration came through, but he deals with a lot of things. But okay, now there is a biblical story here that I've kind of often pondered, and that's the story of where God told was it Abraham to sacrifice his son. I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but he mm-hmm. follows through. He's getting ready to do it, and then God says, "Don't." I think it's how it was, but it seemed as if he just wanted to see if he would. How far would he go to listen to the voice of, say, God in this case here? So it could be that if we listen and we act, we don't always have to expect. Because at that point there in my learning curve, I thought this has to be a success because this came so dramatically in a dream. And it flowed really good into development. It was all great. But then it didn't. So maybe sometimes just following the voice without expecting an outcome that you think should be. And what you're suggesting is, well, maybe it wasn't the outcome. Maybe it was the experience that led me to be proficient in other areas or type of things. That sound right?
Yeah. I mean, who among us hasn't experienced failure? Right? It takes guts to go out into the world, whether you're taking a job or you're having a family or whatever it is. We don't always succeed. And I think that's just so our souls can grow and to show us how we, like little children that we raise, they're not always going to have everything the way we want it. Would I love to say that every time you get an intuition that it's going to all become successful? Yes. Now, I'd say most times that will happen. But failure is a part of living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you were to do it all over again, you would do it differently. Maybe you've learned some things along the way.
Mm. All right. Let's get to a couple more questions. This one here is from, again, from Australian Ben, who's sending in the questions. It says, is it true that God knows everything, but God doesn't know where God came from? Wow.
Who is this Australian Ben?
Australian Ben, who are you?
With his questions. I don't think that. I mean, I think God is whatever you want to choose to define God as, but it emanates from love. So I don't think God's sitting there scratching his head thinking, I don't know where I came from. Maybe what you're pondering is the enormity of the universe, which none of us quite can grasp, especially as humans. When we come here, our brains are wiped clean. When we cross over again and pass on, I think we're imbued with a lot more knowledge. So maybe once we're over there, we have a better clue on that. I'm a human being. I don't know the answer to that, Ben.
Okay. All right. We have this from Azure. How do you feel, or this is Marianne, do you feel your intuitions are originating from God, or do you feel they are coming from another source?
Oh, only coming from God. Our higher self, the greater good, all of that beautiful, loving energy that is in the other plane. Mm-hmm. The other source thing, I think there's more evil on this planet and this plane than I, this is my view, think is out there in other realms. I mean, people here have been very selfish, very greedy. Sometimes we make choices that are just all for us and not for other people. And then we see the opposite of people who are very loving and giving and generous. Mm. So when you talk about evil or other sources, I mean, look around. We're seeing that amongst us all the time as we're seeing good. So no, I don't, I mean, maybe there are other negative energies out there that are trying to get to us, but I think right here on our own planet, we have enough of that.
Mm-hmm. So from my understanding, Can dreams be part of intuition, or are they separate in a separate category?
They can be. I'm oftentimes the worst meditator. I tell people I respect people who can meditate, do all that stuff, but I'm a white knuckler, always moving around. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes they would get me, and I say they, the powers that be, would get me when I'm just waking up or in the shower or, you know, doing something kind of mindless. where I would get these inspirations, but also sometimes in dreams before I'm awake, because our mind is in this kind of like quasi meditative state. Even if we're white knucklers, that's when they can kind of get information to us. So pay attention to those things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can come to you in the middle of a busy day, driving mm-hmm. the car to get your kids from school.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna throw another question out to the chatters. People in the chat, have you had an intuition and then acted on it, and then something happened as a result of your intuition? All right, here's a question from Peter from Australia, I guess. A lot of people in Australia. All right, says Marianne, how can a person distinguish between intuition and reasoning?
Well, again, reasoning is your rational mind, what you are thinking. You go through steps A, B, C, D, and E. Intuition sometimes comes in, and it doesn't really jive or mesh with that rational mind. And you question it. You say, why am I getting this distinct feeling? Intellectually, I know that I should like this person and want to work with this person, but I know on another level, ooh, this is not going to work, or it's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're going to find out that what your intuition is telling you is true. So it's kind of a very distinct oil and water feeling of not really meshing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're already getting some answers in for us. Gladys Kravis says yes, and the question is, have you had intuition, acted on it, and then something good happened? Truth and Treasure says, just use the word Jesus. Rose says yes. Autumn Overbuilt says he was bailed out, I guess, from a decision. Meow M says yes. Put Yahweh First says yes. Susan Baldwin says, I hear voices. But I think she's being a little facetious there. Now, Anita A. says, I don't listen to voices or intuition anymore. Susan Baldwin says, she's clowning tonight. I see dead people. Well, if you see dead people, wow. Dream says, yes, I've had intuition. And Don Morgan. So a lot of people here, Marianne, have had intuition. Now, can we increase the amount from an occasional dream or from an occasional feeling, intuition, hunch, to more of an everyday occurrence? Or is it still going to remain something that is just very spotty?
No, I think every day, every single day, we are getting these inspiring thoughts. And I think that oftentimes we just are not aware of it. So now, sometimes the faucet will be turned on full and you'll get this rush of lots of intuition all the time. And by the way, you can ask them for help. If you're deciding if you're going to take a new job or move to a city or something, oftentimes we get quiet and we kind of just listen. We do that instinctively. But you can ask, and oftentimes you will get, doors will open, you will get information. Other times, and it's a friend of mine, a Catholic priest, calls it the desert of the soul. Other times, nothing comes. You are in the weeds. Mm-hmm. You are not hearing anything, any answers. And you know why that is? That's rare. Most of the time, we mm-hmm. do get answers. But sometimes we're just meant to struggle so that our souls mm-hmm. can grow. Mm-hmm. We don't get everything handed to us perfectly all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. That's natural. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get answers, just realize maybe you're mm-hmm. meant to kind of figure things out. I had an experience where I had an agent. My literary agent, after 2 years, just wasn't working out. Lovely woman. But I had to move on. And I just thought, well, that's it. That's the end here. And I kind of asked for help. And the very next week, or actually next day, I get a call from somebody who tells me about a new agent that took me on, and it was perfect. But again, there are times you might struggle. So mm-hmm. basically, you just have to trust, listen, and realize that we're all human. But that this extraordinary ability is there for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Gladys out of live chat says, Daniel, it says, a voice stopped me from driving to my job and exposing everyone to COVID on May 8th.
Wow. What did the voice say? I'm wondering, they said, but we can't ask them.
Gladys, you got any more on that? We'd like to talk about that. Well, let me ask you this. Marianne, here's another example of an event in my life. I'm only using events in my life to trigger something in the audience to have them think deeper here. So maybe they had this experience. I was going to go to apply to a job. It was a teaching job. And I thought, man, I'm going to go in there. And it was from automotive of what it was. And I felt like I would go in there and I would teach a bunch of young guys, say, you know, here's car stuff, but in between, I would be saying, you know, how about your intuition, or you know, I would put wisdom. I want to impart wisdom. So I thought, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to use this as a platform to help people, and they won't even know it. You know, kind of like this show. And it looked good. Everything was good. And I was about to ready to be hired. And at the very last second, they go, Daniel said, we'll get back to you. I mean, I passed every test. It was going good. I agreed to wait. The whole thing was set. And then they said, I'll get back to you. Then later in the day, I got an email that said, thanks for applying. Bye. But I mean, I was getting ready to take the drug test. That's how close I was to that. And all of a sudden they said, bye. I was so frustrated. I thought, this went so well. What happened? You know, and because my intuition said I was going to get it. 2 months later, that particular college had a layoff. 25% of the teachers, staff was fired. All the new hires were fired. Mm-hmm. Now, that case, I say, I was saved from my own desire and what I tried to do. And I would say God, I mean, for what that matter. Had I got hired, I would have been fired. But in the meantime, I was depressed because I didn't get what I wanted. And I thought my reasoning was so good. My intent was so honest. I wanted to help people. Surely God was going to give this hand this right to me. And it got taken away and I got saved. So is it sometimes we have intuition and we act, but aren't we grateful, though, that God saves us from our own intuition? That's my point.
Well, yes. I mean, sometimes, though, we have hopes and dreams that don't come to fruition. We start to go down that path because our intuition is guiding us there. But really, it's a godsend that we don't go to that place. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll give you an example. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and years and years ago, I was offered a job in New York City. Well, who would really want to move to New York City when you live in a smaller town? Mm-hmm. I did not. So long story short, I end up going to the first intuitive person I ever met, Nancy Meyer. She's in my book. And I sit down with her and I get a reading. And she says, my plan is I'm going to take the job in New York City, but the company was based in Pittsburgh, move back to Pittsburgh after 6 months, and I'd be fine. I sat down with her. I told her my plan. And she looked straight in the eye at me and she said, Marianne, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're going to be in New York for many years. And my heart just dropped. And I didn't want to hear that. And I end up going and taking the job, and I end up being in New York City. Not that job was 3 years, but I was in New York City for 14 years. Now, I flew back to Pittsburgh almost every weekend, but I did not want to hear it. But it turned out to be an excellent move in my career. New York City in public relations, I was at top firms. Couldn't be better training.
Mm-hmm.
But did I want to hear that? No. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was it a failure that I had to go there? No, it was not. It was something I needed to experience. I was reluctant to go there. It's expensive. I'm glad I don't live there now with the virus. I've had friends that have the virus that live there. It's tough. But I'm glad that I experienced that New York experience, mm-hmm. but that I'm back in a smaller town now.
Well, on a darker note, somebody on... I think I read this in the news. I think it was the Fox Channel's weather person, mm-hmm. had two or three people in nursing homes in New York, and mm-hmm. the governor sent COVID infected people into the nursing homes, and thousands of people got killed. And she, two of them was her relatives. Imagine the pain of that. But in that situation, why didn't this person get an intuition to pull them out? Do you think that they would have got an intuition if we all are in this together? We all have this voice. We all have this gift within us. Is it something they put away? Said, you know, that's crazy to take my relatives out. I mean, you think they did and they ignored it? Because that scene right there could apply to a lot of people where we heard a voice and we didn't act, and then something bad happens.
You know, we don't know what this person experienced. They could have gotten the intuition it would be better to remove the person or whatever, but we don't know the answer to that. I would say that certain things are kind of meant to happen, and difficult things. I mean, we all die. Mm-hmm. I personally think that death is not that bad of a thing, and we just transition from this place to that place and what have you, and there's no pain there, and I think very positive things about when my parents died. I was very pleased that they kind of graduated, as it were. They were no longer in pain, and they're very happy. But in that case, we don't know the specifics of what this woman went through, and I would not blame her in any way for those people's deaths, you know? And she did the best that she could.
Well, yeah, I mean, blaming people just isn't a good thing. I know that. It's a hard thing because it's almost a go-to thing. I mean, society doesn't really teach us to take responsibility. And then bad things happen. We want to blame somebody else. I mean, but sometimes there's just life. Life happens, you know. And so it's you know, by the time we get this all figured out, we got to check out. So I that's not fair at all. All right, let's get to this question here. I think this is a joke. Australian Ben, we're going to leave that one alone. He's a funny guy. I think he just sent a joke in. We'll leave that one alone. All right, and let me get to your book here. And let me put that back up there, this book right here. In chapter 3, you talk about paranormal explorers. What is that?
Well, there are scientists, very few scientists, I will tell you, in the scientific community who are studying intuition and PSI, PSI, psychic ability. It's a taboo in the scientific community. As one of the scientists, Dean Radin, says, if you want to get tenure or advance your career in science, do not study paranormal experiences because it is largely looked down upon in the scientific community. However, these brave people, and I talk about Dr. Dean Radin, Dr. Gary Schwartz, and Dr. Russell Tark, have spent their careers exploring this area. And privately at conventions and things, the other scientists will come up to them and whisper to them, well, here's the experiences that I've had with intuition, psychic ability, whatever. But they can't feel that they can talk about it openly and publicly. So I really give credit to these brave scientists for studying these things, because we are now, like it or not, moving to the next level of consciousness. We are. I mean, this pandemic is one example of some of the challenges that we're going to be facing, and they're going to continue, unfortunately, to make us move into this next realm of experience of consciousness. And by consciousness, I mean this level of communication that we've really not embraced before. And just like from the phone with the cord to the cell phone, you know, the internet to the cell phone to whatever, I think that we're going to be moving into this next realm of really relying more on some of our inner voice, you know, just for some wisdom, because they're a whole lot smarter than we are, and we best pay attention to some of what we're getting.
All right. We have this question here from Azur. It says, have you practiced yoga or chakra-based meditation?
I've tried yoga. My gym's been closed, as all of ours, but for a few months. Chakra-based meditation, as I mentioned before, I'm not a great meditator, too much, you know, white knuckling. And I do respect things like that, but I have personally not gone there because my mind just wanders too quickly. And, you know, but I think it's a valid thing to study. Okay. So if you're interested, go ahead.
All right. Well, we have another Australian Ben question come in. It says, Marianne, are kids more intuitive than adults? And is this a benefit or a burden for humanity?
I think children are generally more intuitive, more open, more loving, less prejudiced about various things than we are. They've been less sullied by time and by experience and by being influenced by other people. Many of the people in my book, and by the way, I will tell you that in my book, I have chapters about 33 highly gifted intuitives from the U.S. and around the world. They're profile chapters about how they were as children, when they first learned they were gifted, how they dealt with it, what they have to share with us now. And many of these young people, or people as young people, were really bullied for having these gifts. Many were misunderstood. Some were closeted until they were adults. Some were supported, but and some only came into these gifts in their like 40s. That's a very rare number. But many of these kids struggle with this. They thought either everyone saw deceased grandpa in the corner, or they would know things that other people wouldn't know, and other kids would either pick on them, or they become the most popular kid in the class because they could know things that other people wouldn't know. And if they were out in the playground teasing other kids and were put on a list by the teacher of kids to be punished, they could take their name off that list, or they could ace a test. So some of them used it for their own advantage. Many of them, though, struggled with these gifts and had to learn the language of how to deal with the gift. And now they use it to help many other people.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I saw a scripture come through the live chat. It says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, the Heavenly Father will forgive you. But that just kind of in a general theme, if somebody has anger in their heart, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that if a person is bitter, has anger, unforgiveness tendencies, that there might not be a lot of intuition going on there. Would I be right?
I think so, because once intuition and I think a lot of religious things as well are all about love. And if you're closed off and you're bitter and you're angry, you're just a fortress of hatred and you're not letting anything in. So how the heck would intuition get through there? I don't think so.
So I think that's a good call. That's a cowboy call right there.
Yes.
You got to have a soft heart, man. All right. Here's from our moderator, Jade. Do you believe that God and higher self are one and the same?
I think that there is a team of collaborators that are here to help us. And it may be a different kind of grouping for each one of us than the other. You know, there may be some personal angels or guides that are just for you. I think ultimately overarching everything is God, the concept of God. Again, being human and being wiped clean when I was born here, I don't have a line on exactly who these entities are, but I do know that God is a pretty darn good word to describe a part of this universal love that we're all being exposed to. So, yes.
Marianne, chapter 8, My Memory of Heaven. Is that your memory?
I wrote a chapter called My Memory of Heaven before I was born. Now, as a young child, I had this memory, and then I thought maybe it was just a dream, and I kind of discounted it. But yes, it was my memory of being in heaven before I was born, and I can mention what it was if you want.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Okay, so I remember, you know what an airplane hangar looks like? It's like a giant garage.
Right.
With a giant door. I remember walking into this giant airplane hangar with this gorgeous, beautiful, brilliant light behind me out there, outside of the hangar. And I knew that in that warm, beautiful, brilliant light were my loved ones. And I knew that I was going on an adventure. And that I was like the first day of school for a kid. You're nervous, but you're excited. So I'm holding onto the hand in this memory, this dream, of this impossibly tall being. And yes, the being was wearing a robe with a rope belt. And I'm in a line of other small toddler-sized children holding onto the hands of their impossibly tall beings in this white robe. And I'm moving forward in this line. And as we get, and there's no talking with this being, they were just emanating love. And as we're moving forward in this line, and I see the light back there outside of the hangar, brilliant light, I'm anticipating this exciting adventure, which I guess is going to be being born. So I get to the front of the line, and in front of me is this long, translucent slide, endlessly long. And each impossibly tall being picked up their little toddler beings, souls, and put them on the slide, and they would go down. And then it was my turn, and they put me on the slide, and I went down. And then my next memory was being laying in a stroller. Remember the old strollers? They weren't like chairs. They were like a bed almost.
Yeah.
With like, I was laying in this thing. It was summer. I was born in June, summertime, and I'm looking up. I'm cuddled in the blanket. I'm looking up at the blue clouds and sky and the beautiful face of my mother pushing the stroller, and I felt super content and really happy. Okay, I wrote it as a chapter, and I now find out that there's a whole thing, I forget the term they use, but of people who have memories before they were born of being there, coming here. And I think that's what this was. That's why I included it.
Well, there is a biblical context there. It said, God said, before you were in the womb, I knew you. That, to me, indicates pre-existence before birth. as if we existed. Perhaps we've always existed like God, has always been there, or always been a part of Him. It's a very interesting concept, too, to say the least. David Burnell says, hello, Marianne. What is the phenomena of thinking of someone and then that person calls you?
Basically, it's that energy, as I mentioned, the iPhone now versus the phone with the cord. I mean, there's a whole lot of different energy going on. And I think that that energy has always been out there. And those things happen to all of us where we're thinking of somebody and then they call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they email us and then it's crazy. So that's kind of like just everything happening that we can't really understand, but we're picking up on. As we move forward and become a little more sophisticated in this intuition thing, we'll be able to actually make those things happen a little bit more consciously. But this is just it happening mm-hmm. kind of in a Wild West mm-hmm. format.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a number of folks on the program over the years that talk about maybe a higher level of understanding. Some call it a higher vibration, a time of love and stuff. And I always retort back, I'm looking out and I'm not seeing any advancement toward that. I mean, I like conversations like we're having here. We're talking about intuition and there's aspects of love involved and empathy. But in general, half the country's on fire right now as we're talking.
Yeah.
So how do you square this idea of a better world and more love and empathy and intuition with what's happening?
That's a fantastic question. I'll tell you, I've been told by my intuitive friends that what's called light workers, more higher evolved souls are coming into the world, being born into the world, because we need it. Because left to our own devices as human beings, there is a whole faction of people that kind of come from a place of hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to go away. Now, but I think that we're being infused with a vast number of higher level, not to say they're better, but energies that are trying to raise this consciousness and change that dynamic. And frankly, between you and me, Daniel, I believe right now we're in a kind of a war of good and evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like a full-on all head-on war between these two factions. So, again, my book is not going to appeal to the haters.
I can see that.
Right?
Right.
I think it'll appeal to people who already understand these things, but there's that huge number in between of, I mentioned before, of the spiritual but not religious people
mm-hmm.
that are looking for the light. Like, where do I find the spiritual connection? And I think as they become more educated about the fact that we are connected right here, then it's going to overpower some of the negative energy. And also, I believe that good, this could be crazy, but, and my friends, my intuitive friends have told me this, good will always win over the negative. It will. But does that mean it wipes the negative out? No. And sometimes the negative has to rise, kind of like, excuse me, a toilet overflowing mm-hmm. before we can take care of the problem.
Or perhaps
we're seeing that in spades right now.
Or perhaps it's like the fertilizer so that the good can grow.
In a way, but I don't see hatred fertilizing anything positive, except for the fact that we are so turned off by these negative things that are happening as people. I think a lot of us feel this gut-wrenching pain of watching prejudice and hatred and all these negative things. I mm-hmm. think it just makes us even more impassioned to change things for the mm-hmm. better, correct?
Correct. I would agree to that 100%. There's some talk in the live chat going on about what's happening out in the world. So I was hoping this show would be more of a kind of a respite from that kind of thing. And that's why I really didn't even talk about what's going on in my ranting points. If you ever watch the show, I have a segment called Ranting Points because there is a lot of darkness in this country. But I think staying positive, each of us, you wrote this book. And I'm sure you're very proud of it, and you feel like it addresses, and you're attempting to elevate people through experiences, through other people's experiences, to a sort of a higher place. And because if we don't, there's a part. And in fact, it reminds me of the of a movie, Apocalypse Now. There's a scene in there where this colonel says, inside every man, there's a battle between good and evil, and good does not always win. So now you said that, of course, in general, as a human species, good generally wins. And of course, we can look at World War II. I mean, imagine the darkness if the Nazis had won. Oh. And you also said it doesn't go away either, because we have the 6 million Jews that were killed and all the death that went that happened, and people were affected for generations because of that. But now we have a new sort of evil out there. But there are in people, there is evil, and evil is rising up. And I'm hoping that equally in higher or more, good is rising up in good people to offset that.
I think there's kind of been almost armies of souls that are coming into the universe right now, into the planet, that are armed to help make that change. And I think that the virus happening, I have many intuitive friends that told me some big correction was going to happen in 2020. They didn't say virus. They didn't know if it was a terrorist attack or a war or whatever. But they said it would humble the world, that it would change human consciousness, that it would help heal the planet, and that even though it was a really tough situation, and I was told this 5 years ago, that we would come out way better for this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's forced us to think differently, to move differently, to act differently.
Mm-hmm. Here's a different kind of question from Ray out of the this is not live chat. This is emailed in question. Can you use intuition for remote viewing as well as UFO summoning? How about that one?
Well, you know, Ray, if you buy the book or check the book out on the internet, Russell Tark, one of the brave paranormal explorers I mentioned in here, I interviewed, Russell Tark was the head of the Stargate project, which was the government's use of intuitive individuals to spy, like the Russians were doing on us, on other countries. And they used remote viewing. And Russell Tark is considered to be the father of remote viewing. So check out the book. Even just Google Russell Targ, and you'll see who he is. He's in his 80s now. He's an amazing man. He just, actually, it's streaming on Amazon. It's coming out on Hulu. Just did a documentary called Third Eye Spies. Check it out. It's free. Google it. It's just coming out. But I don't know about UFOs, but I do know about remote viewing. And you should check out Russell Tark. He's in my book. Amazing guy. And remote viewing was used by the government to help us protect our country.
Chapter 10, a Valentine call from Albert Einstein?
Yes.
What's that in there for?
Did you read it?
No.
I can't. It's a long story.
Honestly, I saw that and I think I'm going to read this, but I thought, no, I'll just ask her.
The bottom line is that on Valentine's morning of 2016, I got a call at 8:20 in the morning, a.m., Sunday morning. I picked up the phone thinking it was my daughter calling from her sleepover. Maybe something was wrong. And it was a woman who I had never spoken to before who said she was calling to wish me a happy Valentine's Day by Albert Einstein. And I immediately thought it was a prank call or something weird had happened or I didn't know what. And if you'll read the chapter, you'll see that this woman was praying and meditating, got an inspiration from what she calls Albert Einstein to call me and talk with me about the fact that the project, being the book that I'm working on, is really great. It's going to help humankind. That I'm, she called it a vessel of truth. And I wrote these notes and later taped his message to me. But the bottom line is, I said, how did you get my phone number? Number one, my phone number is unlisted. Number two, it's under my husband's name, and his last name is not my last name. There's no way to get my number. So she said he just gave it to me in sequence, and she got the number. Wow. It's a very fascinating chapter. The message from Einstein was interesting. I will only read you the first sentence or two of it because it's fascinating.
Okay.
But when she finally gave me the message, it started this way. Her voice lowered. She's a medium from Long Island. Edna is her name that called me. Apparently, I didn't know her. She says, Madame, I am still focused on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest, best good. Now, I'll say that again. Madame, I am still focused on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest best good. It is about not destruction, but elevation of the illumination of consciousness. So you'll have to check out the book to read the rest of the message. But I was so blown away. I was shaking. I asked for her phone number. Could I call her the next day? She said, yes, I did call her. I went to the shower. I looked up at the ceiling and I said to God and the powers that be, can you tone it down a little bit? Because this is more than I can handle. And it was actually a very humorous experience because I went in to the office to answer the phone at 8:20 on that Sunday morning, barely clothed. I was about to take a shower. Here's Einstein, supposedly, calling me to wish me a happy Valentine's Day. I'm barely dressed. So my husband and I kind of laughed about it. But you have to read the chapter. It's a long story. But yes, there are energies, brilliant energies, like Einstein, Nikola Tesla, and a few others that are coming not just to me, but to some scientists and other people, because they're still on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest best good. Great. They're in the other plane, but they want to still help make us good. I'm on board.
If somebody wants to access their inner voice, is it a conversation you can have with that voice, or is it a one-way deal, the voice into your mind?
No, you can access. I mean, you can have a conversation. Basically, it's like a friend. I mean, there's nothing scary about it, really. You need to quiet your mind, even though I'm a white knuckler. I need to do that. The thing I mentioned before about be humble and take your ego down a couple pegs. Mm-hmm. Trust your gut. Ask for help. A lot of us think that we're not worthy of their help. Okay? I mean, when I was a Catholic person all the time, you know, you're holding your phone to your ear when you're praying, basically saying into the God, can you help me? I need some answers. Secretly, you're worrying that maybe you're not worthy. Maybe they're not listening even. Mm-hmm. Little do we know, what they told me, the message to give to everyone, is that they have the receiver in their hand, that they're listening and they want to communicate with us, and that they are rooting for us. We're not fools to be thinking that they can help us. They're there. Mm-hmm. The only thing we're doing is, because of the stereotype about how intuition has got to be silly or crazy, is we're not picking up on that. It's a gift. That's why it's called a gift within us. It's right there. It's at our fingertips.
Well, I do know this. I'm going to agree with Jade in the live chat. She says, I don't quiet my mind well. I have tried. I get about 2 seconds, and that's it. I'm enough to go back, and I just give up. So what's the process?
Hey, I always say that if I can do it, anyone can, because I'm the worst meditator. Sometimes I joke that they have to take like a rubber mallet and hit me on the head with it. Again, in the shower, just as I'm waking up in the morning, maybe through a dream. I'm not good at it either. But if I can write this book, anyone can do this. Because if I had to sit there and hold crystals in my hand, focus on my chakras, and do all this stuff, I never would have been able to write this book. So it's right at your fingertips.
That's pretty funny. All right. Yeah, if you're holding on to crystals, I don't know how you can write a book anyway. there's a guest that we've had on several times named Russ Dizdar. And he speaks about a black awakening, an evil cloaking the world. It says, are intuitives and spiritual leaders the natural antidote fighting the battle of this invisible war, and do we need more intuitives to do it?
Like any talent, I mean, Daniel, we all think we can sing, right? I mean, we can kind of croak out a tune, but how many of us can sing like Adele or Frank Sinatra? Not many. So the level of giftedness that the 33 people that I outline in my book, who I've interviewed, and who, by the way, whose contact information is at the end of the book, should anyone want to contact them for a reading, their level of giftedness is at the highest end, the highest echelon of it. As far as needing more intuitives to do it, these people are doing a yeoman's job of helping us connect with the powers that be. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's why I put their contact info in the book, so that people can call and get a really great reading from someone who's not only highly gifted, but highly high integrity. Do we need more intuitives in the world? I think the reason I was kind of, I call it being drafted to write this book, was because I think that while there are a number of really highly gifted people, there's also a lot of people that are kind of mediocre at readings, and then there's that small group of fakes. I think that's a very small minority, but they're out there. We need to understand that, yes, you can get a reading from one of the great people in this book or other people that you might find through word of mouth, but also ultimately, let's listen, let's learn to listen to our own inner voice because there's a wealth of information there.
Right now in downtown Indianapolis, there's looting and rioting going on. My intuition says, stay the hell, Daniel, it's just saying, Daniel, stay the hell out away from there. It now is that intuition or is that self-preservation?
Self-preservation.
Okay, so
And my daughter
nothing
was
spiritual
going to
about
go.
that.
My daughter was going to go downtown. Her friends were to go to their protest. They had tear gas, and they were putting. I mean, my daughter didn't go. She's smart enough to know not to go, and she's 18. But they were lighting police cars on fire, and that's just not going to do anyone any good. That's ridiculous.
Sound like it needs some intuition about getting arrested. By the way, one of our previous guests in the live chat, his name is Mexico. His avatar name is Mexico. I don't explain. He says he can sing, he can belt out a tune, and he can sing. He starts singing in the shower. He sings all day long. So it's good for you, Mex, for doing that. We have this question back to from Australian Ben. Is David Wilcox a meditation guru?
I don't know that person's name. I'm going to write it down and check it out, but I've heard it, I think, but I'm not sure who he is.
All right. Let's get to another question here. And you mentioned earlier, I don't know if you called them light workers, but a lot of times you've been referring to them or they. And Azura says, "Who are they?"
Well, my daughter asked me that same question last week. She said, "Mom, you talk about your guides. Who are they?" And I explained, as I did earlier, that it's a combination of, I believe, God, the powers that be are God, my guides, angels, maybe deceased loved ones, maybe just a collection of energies, maybe Einstein, who knows, that are here to kind of help. And I listen to them, and I think it can be different for different people. Maybe my collection of collaborators is different from Daniel's collection of collaborators. And I think, Daniel, you probably communicated with them, and you probably know that voice, right? That inner working before. You've made some very interesting decisions. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that muscle of knowing that I'm describing?
When that happens, I've never had a they sort of feeling. It's been mainly, well, it must be God or an angel type of situation going on there. But I've never come up with a they, like them. So no, I'm not connected with that type of thing, no.
Yeah, that's been my experience. And again, as humans, we are ignorant. We just don't know. And we can't beat ourselves up for not knowing. That's part of the human experience. But for me, it feels like a collection, like when you work in a company, there's all sorts of manner of different people you work with on different levels. That's what it feels like with me, kind of a collaboration of helpers.
I remember talking to you before the show a couple weeks back, and I told you an experience, but I didn't know if it was an intuition, but I was going through Lowell's. I'll share this with the folks watching. I was going through Lowell's, and a guy was at the checkout counter and had a name tag, and his name was George. I said, "Hello, George, how you doing?" And he just lit up like you would not believe. He went on and said, "You're the first person that's used my name ever since he's been there." And he was so ecstatic. I'm just like, wow, all I did was just use your name. I just, respected him for being a person. And I figured, hey, if you got to be standing here behind that shield with everything that's going on, then, you're kind of a hero to me. But I just out of respect. But that little interaction there, it made his day to some degree that I can't even explain. He just, because he went on, and I was taken aback by that. And all I did was use his name. So I don't know if that was an intuition to use his name more than an act of just recognizing a fellow human being as a human being. But I will say to people listening to this, what I just said, if you get an unction, and it usually has to do with people, as far as I can tell, an interaction with people, to put to be intentful about putting something positive, leave you the positive good on your life trek. And that's the best kind of life you can have. My day was made just from that. The rest of the day I couldn't. But his day was made more than mine. But, you know, I've never found where you can be nice or do good and not receive that back 10 times more than what you ever give.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. That see what you got from that experience? And you were just, it was just a tiny thing you did. And you helped that man realize that he was seen and recognized and he was contributing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention a couple of things because it seems to me that some of your audience is on the religious side.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up Catholic, we had a priest named Father Flynn. He looked like kind of like a Bing Crosby guy. And he went on to become a bishop and then an archbishop, which is a pretty high up position in the Catholic Church. And as I was writing this book, I thought, I wonder what Father Flynn would think about this. Is it the work of the devil? You know, just wondered. So I called him a couple of years ago, and he's Archbishop Flynn. Now, he just passed in the fall, so unfortunately. And I had the tape recorder. I said, do you mind if I interview you? I didn't know if he was going to tell me it's the work of the devil. I didn't know. I didn't think he would, but what came out of his mouth was the most beautiful stuff I've ever heard. He said that, Marianne, people, saints have had these abilities. Jesus had these abilities. And he says something, and I quote it in the first chapter of my book called The New Spirituality, but on the back cover, I have a quote of Archbishop Flynn's that I want to just read. It's two sentences. He says, Marianne, this direct connection has always been available to all of us. Some receive this guidance through prayer, some through meditation, and others by simply listening to their inner voice. We all have access to divine wisdom. It's just a matter of knowing and trusting that we are loved and worthy of receiving that guidance. I did not expect this Catholic archbishop to be telling me this. And I tried to write a chapter before talking to him where I interviewed rabbis and priests and ministers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would go on record about intuition because it's kind of still, you know, a topic that people don't talk about. So I wanted to share with your listeners that this man understood that it's really available to all of us, and it's not that much different than prayer. So you being a good man talking to that guy at Lowe's, look what you got back from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing spooky or scary about any of this. And I want to give one more analogy, if I might. We've all seen that movie, The Wizard of Oz, correct? As a child, that movie seemed to go on for 10 hours. I mean, Dorothy's going through the flying monkeys and the poppies, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I was awakened one morning and given this inspiration to give to you folks. Do you remember at the end of The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's gone through all this rigmarole and she gets to Oz and the wizard can't get her back to Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bad. And so Glinda, this beautiful woman, I don't like the word witch personally, but whatever, she comes down and she says to Dorothy, but Dorothy, you've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy clicks her heels and she's like, and that's something I was awakened to give in this book. And I mentioned in the book, we all have right here this ability to listen to this beautiful, loving, divine wisdom, divine guidance, period. You don't have to do special things to get there. You don't have to buy special crystals. You don't have to do anything fancy. Just understand that you're worthy of receiving that information and be open to it. And a little humility would help.
Hmm.
That's it.
Okay. Let's get to getting to the end of it. We'll take a couple more questions here. Overbill Automotive. Have you heard of Doreen Virtue? If not, please look her up on YouTube.
I have. She's done a number of books, and I know someone who knows her well, so I plan to get in touch with her. Yep. Thank you.
And then, of course, there's this. When listening to one's inner voice, it seems to me sometimes the pointed ear, red-dressed freak with a bifurcated tail is going to be saying something in there, too. How do we know that voice ain't in there messing things up?
I am happy to tell you that they don't have access to this channel that we have. If they're going to get through to you, they're going to come through to you through greed, hatred, prejudice, all the bad stuff. They're not going to just come through your inner voice. you have to be in a place where you're willing to embrace all that negative stuff before you'll get those inspirations. If I'm a hateful, prejudiced, nasty person, I might get some inspiration to do some nasty, hateful things to people. But through the regular, pure channels of what I'm describing, they're not welcome and they're not there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as we get toward the end of this broadcast, when we're looking at this book, what does this book bring to the reader in general, the overall thing?
Well, I think that when you read the stories of the 33 highly gifted people that have profile chapters in this book, you'll see they're regular people that have regular problems. They've been divorced. They've been in abusive relationships, whatever their personal story is. But they have a very unique gift, and they help many of us. So that's thing one. Change the way we view people who are highly gifted. By changing that and changing the stereotype in our head of intuition and intuitive people, we can then be open to listening to our own inner voice. And we really need, I mean, would you want to just throw your iPhone away right now? No, we kind of, or your computer, we need that level of communication. It's time we kind of signed up to listen and get this level of intuitive wisdom that we all have access to. Because the world, look around us, it's crazy. And it's time we kind of tuned in and realized that we do have access to this. Listen to this wisdom. They're smarter than us. No offense to us, but, you know, listen to and get help. They're rooting for us. Why wouldn't we want them on our side? So that's kind of the takeaway of the book.
Okay. Well, that's a good summation of that. Marianne, appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. How'd you like the interview?
I think you're a unique soul. I would love to know if Australian Bob was it?
Ben.
Ben, is he from Australia?
Australian Ben, are you still in the live chat? Tell us, are you from Australia? I know Peter from Australia is in there, so maybe we have a couple Australians. Because I would say, hey, no, that's a Canada. I say, how's it going? Are you on any spot of tea? No, that's British. Wait a minute. Down under. Got a great big knife down under. So Jade says he is. That Australian Ben is from Australia.
Ben, my book is mostly U.S. people, but there's Paul Asdig from Australia. I have people from Berlin and England and India in the book. But, yeah, Australia is a very interesting place. I'm just finishing an article that's going to be in a magazine from Australia called New Dawn, D-A-W-N magazine, in next month. So I have a great feeling about Australia and New Zealand. It's an amazing place. So your show must reach a lot of people.
I suspect it does. I don't know. It's not as big as I want it to, but I only do this once a week. This show's only once a week, so it probably would be bigger.
Well, all I know is it's reaching the people it has to reach, and maybe it will begin to reach more. Remember, I'm a PR person, so part of what I'm doing is I'm going to link you with other people that I know on many levels, so we'll just become part of this media collective.
All right, Marianne Boer, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yes, please. And if people want my book, it's on Amazon. Just go and type in The Gift Within Us or my name, Marianne Boer, B-O-H-R-E-R. I also have a website. It's just my name, Marianne Boer at B-O-H-R-E-R.com. And I have Instagram and Facebook. So I look forward to having people check it out. And again, if they want to connect with any of these gifted people, all the information's in the book. They can reach them themselves. I hope that they do listen, and I'd love to be on again, see if some of the people that listen to you have accessed this divine wisdom.
Okay. All right, Marianne, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Stay safe in the city where you're at.
You too. All right. Take care, Daniel.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, everybody.